Hi, Rupert's mum.
Hello, mum.
He's a good lad.
Hi, Rupert's mum.
He's okay.
Yeah, mom listens. Lots of other people listen too. Thank you for listening to Flagship Radio, which is, we're kind of melding things together, kind of like the Flintstones and the Jetsons meet. That was an amazing episode. It's kind of like that. Dark City, Flagship Radio, coming together.
Once flags again. Everywhere. Everybody put their flags. Yes. So Flagship Radio.
Was that permanent pause, or did my sound just drop out for a minute?
Your sound doesn't sound very good, but regardless of that, I don't know what. Where, it seems like a lot of people got quiet.
A magical turtle.
I asked the improv officer that he's dealing with the steam engine. He'll be back in.
That's really loud. Yeah.
Rupert, do you like bees, Rupert?
Oh yes, I do.
Do you think Monsanto likes bees, Rupert?
No, I don't. I think that they like to chemically and genetically engineer the bees. Yep.
Right.
It's really evil.
Well, we have solutions. Lots of solutions. Things to do, Rupert. We're very busy at Dark City Radio. Introducing bees and food and the importance of planting your own food. The importance of remembering where water comes from, what it is, the memories of water. Mm-hmm. Lots of things at Dark City Radio, Rupert.
So, you guys are very practical.
Yes, Rupert. Because at the end of the day, that's what sustains you in this reality. Food, water, and shelter.
Yes, yes. And British people joining you in...
I'm not British, Rupert.
You know, I'm getting paid for my plug.
Rupert, we don't mean to kind of show you up on your geographical positioning, but Susan is on the other side of the world from England. You couldn't be more further wrong. So Susan's in Australia, Rupert.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, excuse me. And Angela's in America.
She is.
Yes.
And then the two guys behind you are on your couch.
No. No, they're not actually on my couch. It's really good though, isn't it? That's a blue screen behind me. Watch that. I'll get this guy up here. See what I'll do is, right, I'll get you Anarchy Gimp. I don't know if you've come across Anarchy Gimp, but we'll get you Anarchy Gimp on cam for you, Rupert. Just for you.
Take off your clothes.
Susan said
Rupert, that's a really hot picture of you.
Yeah, it was taken with a $6,000 camera.
I'm telling you. We were talking a while back about, you know, what photograph would represent you properly, and that one is just like incredibly bluesy, hot, your depth is shown, but your lightness is shown as well, and then you're,
right, so
you
use
know,
it.
What?
Use it, get me work.
Yeah, I've been asking you to send me a bigger picture of that, because all I get is the little thumbnail, so send me the damn picture, it's hot.
Yeah, I'm hot. I mean, I'm hot. What do you want?
Just send me the picture.
I'll do it right now, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, part of this whole process in making the YouTube videos and doing the radio show is trying to connect with people. People like Angela, who like, she's kind of connected with people. So I need to get on this. I need an agent. I need to find a way to get things going, you know?
You need to be on Saturday Night Live, really. I mean, you've been on there.
I agree. I think I would. Yep. I've been waiting my whole life for that.
Yeah, so let's do it before you're too old like me.
I'm getting there, sweetie.
Send it. Just send me the 8x10 glossy or even the JPEG. I don't care.
Sending so anyway, a digital image.
Please do. Please do. And anyway, go back to important stuff, because I just wanted to point that out, that this is like the bluesiest, awesomest, picturest of you est that I ever est saw est. So, awesomest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Call Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, I already, I have.
Yeah, I know. We're not going to go there, though.
No, don't, please. Okay, so anyway, I'm done chatting for the minute. I'm back and forth, but I'm listening in. And, Susan was talking about planting things and, and all that kind of stuff. So they were talking about important stuff. So we're on your show right now, right? Which is flagshipradio.com or something?
Yeah, it's Hyatt Rupert Radio, and it's hosted on flagshipradio.com. A bunch of really groovy people that help me do this.
And then how often are you on air?
I'm on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m. Eastern till 8, and sometimes I miss. Like yesterday, I was sick as a dog. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, you also work a full-time job.
I do. I'm a videographer, and I work in a hotel.
Yeah, nice. So yeah, you have a lot going on.
I do. I'm a very busy boy. So, well, that's good. Thanks for catching up with me, and thanks for saying that about the picture. I'm actually going to send it to you here, just like over the Skype, probably in just a few minutes.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, it's one of the best pictures I've seen of you yet. You know, we had a comment about another picture that you had sent, because we've talked about, you know, furthering your career in general, and you sent me this one, and you know, for no reason, but you looked like a trust fund baby, and it was so cute because you're the absolute opposite of such. You know, you're not an independently wealthy individual. You are a up-and-comer and a go-getter. So I was, you know, I found it very interesting, you know, because, you know, I come from the Hollywood world or whatever. So I know, you know, what the message is from a picture that's sent. And it was very funny because we argued for a bit about it. But this picture really represents you in a way that I can't even describe. It was just awesome. It's awesome. I don't even know what's going on with the buttons on the shoulder and the little smoke thing that comes out and your eyes. And it's just awesome. The end. Okay, the end.
Yeah, thank you so much. I do really appreciate that. I have a photographer friend. I have several photographer friends, actually, who I just happen to run into them maybe once or twice a year each. And it's just in passing, they'll always snap a really good picture of me and I'll use it. I'm really lucky to have friends like that.
Yeah,
I have sent you the file, I do believe, so go ahead and
take it.
Oh, it looks like you got it. Awesome. All right, we'll turn that into something and we'll get me moving on some things. I'm probably going to have to move to Hollywood, or I don't know.
That's what I told you last year, and you got all mad at me. You're like, what? I have to move to California? And I'm like, yes, pretty much, or, you know, pretty much.
I want to meet the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
Again.
Okay.
Yeah, they're cool.
All right.
One day.
All right,
one day.
So what's your subject matter? I'm going to stop interrupting. That's a great photo.
You know,
you
my subject matter was really just having the Dark City people on again, because they crack my fans up. Like, they had a really good time on here last time, so.
Don't leave the Shires for those far off American lands, Rupert. We'll miss you, David.
Yo, there's a terrorist on the couch now. What the hell, man? You can't see what I'm seeing. This call is being done via Skype.
It's like a ninja
Skype has
terrorist guy.
And no, Skype has a video. Skype has a video function, and you can see. I can see what's going on. Okay, go ahead.
Nice game, Rupert.
This guy has on a mask of some sort. I don't know. So, I just found a very strange article. This is very strange. This is very strange indeed. Deputy shoots suspect in West Virginia, sheriff's slaying. The suspect in the killing of a Mingo County Sheriff Walter E. Eugene Crum was shot in Del Barton, West Virginia, by a sheriff's deputy after the suspect wrecked his vehicle and raised his weapon. Man, that's just weird. Suspect arrested after a sheriff got shot to death in his car. Stuff like that doesn't happen in England, does it?
It does.
Crazy enough stuff does.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well,
there was recently a couple of Lady WPC cop things were shot in Manchester.
Oh my gosh. Does Manchester have a really, like, dirty part of it?
Yeah.
Manchester is really nice, Rupert. I've been to Manchester. It's a nice little community. A young community, an old community with a young community and the children. And yeah. And I've observed what Ashton allotments have done with land and setting land free. I don't think that's fully understood or comprehended at all, but that's okay. So, yes. Hello, Rupert.
Oh, Susan, you know how to talk to me. You really do. That's all I really ask from anybody. Just talk to me like that.
Thank you, Rupert. Thank you.
Indeed. In fact,
go on.
What happens with what?
I was just wondering what happens when I say hello, Rupert.
It's not the same as Susan. It's...
Get him, Kelly. Get him, Kelly. Go on, round him up.
Well.
No, I don't mind, Rupert. You carry on. Susan has got a beautiful voice, and if I was a man, I'm sure I would melt every time she said hello to me.
I seriously have a problem with her. Like, you know. You know what I want to do? I want to do like in The Little Mermaid and you know, steal her voice and wear it as a necklace. Right. All right, moving right along.
Yes, I think
so. Don't say a word, Susan. Thank you. He'll steal it.
Here we are with Rupert.
He'll take it.
Cups of tea with Rupert.
That would be a wonderful thing. I would also like to... I want to do some traveling. I wish that I could find a way to do some traveling. If anybody wants to sponsor a travel trip, I would love to take a trip. Maybe I could take a trip to Manchester.
Do you have your passport, Rupert?
I need to make sure that it's up to date, but yeah, I got one. It's great. My picture makes me look like a convict.
And do you mind them scanning your testicles, Rupert?
Didn't we have a conversation about you referencing my testicles on air?
That's what they're going to do when you go through the airport, is it not?
They
can Wi-Fi from that scanner. They can Wi-Fi to Playboy magazine. You don't know, do you? And anyway, all the money goes to Michael Chertoff. You know, that's what this is all about. There aren't any terrorists, not that kind of terrorists. You know, the Chertoffs of this world are terrorists. And he's going to terrorize you when you go flying over to Manchester by putting you through a microwave fucking oven thing.
He's not. You know what? I'll let some...
Your testicle.
Okay.
Okay.
Look. I would rather someone touch my junk than hit me with the scatter device.
What about if they put you dress up as a female, Rupert? Try being a female and going through an airport. And I have complained, and I said, are you the right person for me to give my complaint to? And they said, no, you need to speak to this man over there. So I went over to that man over there, and I said, look, I have a complaint I'd like to make. And I think it's you're not approaching this with both genders in mind, and I find it quite... unsettling that I am having to undress at an airport in a public space. And they said, well, you could go over there and you can do it over there. I said, no, that's after the fact. Oh.
I don't find that disturbing at all. I'd love to see you undress in an airport, honey. I'm just kidding. No, okay, wait. So you got redirected and you had to undress? Seriously?
Well, you have to take your shoes off, you have to take your belts off. Sometimes your belt's holding your pants up and you've got to bend over to put your shoes on. So, yeah, you know, and other people are doing that in front of you, and sometimes that image in front of you is not always a nice image to see.
I've got an idea to solve all this. How would you like to hear it?
Well, turn the terrorists into tourists. Oh, Rupert, cups of tea with Rupert.
Okay, so
here's
what we do.
I want to hear it, Rupert. It's your show. It's your show, Rupert.
Right. So, this is what I'm saying. We need to have two types of flights. Two types of flights. The first flight...
A magical turtle.
Already. You get scanned before you go in. Somebody feels you up, you know. It's really a kind of a pain in the butt. It's demeaning and degrading. But then there would be another type of flight. A
magical turtle.
You know, guns and knives and food and, you know, people who don't mute their microphone and type on the keyboard while you're talking. Oops.
And medical necessities.
And medical necessities and, like, pot and liquor and everything that you could ever want could be on the miscreant flight. And it should be staffed by people, like bouncers. Like, it could be like a party. like a club in the sky. And we would have a blast. And nobody would want to land. And everybody would want to fly like that. You just get on the plane. If somebody has a problem, if somebody wants to pull out a gun, everybody just shoots them. You have to have a gun to get on the plane. Now, granted, this might not be the most popular airline ever, but there would be some interest, and I think it would catch on. Party plane.
Well, I think the airports need a thorough redressing. They need a thorough changeover. They need a thorough makeup. And I think we should have, instead of my kitchen rules, my airport rules. Who has the best entertainment, Rupert? I think you're jolly well right. Because I did say, look, there you are, paying a fortune to go to visit something or somewhere or go some do something. And before you get there, you have to do that. And then you've got to do that when you get back. It's like, that is such like a bummer. Hello. I don't want to
total,
come to that airport.
Total
like
bummer.
It.
Yeah, I don't like flying. I haven't flown in a long, long time because I don't like that. I don't want it. It's not something that I need in my life.
Well,
but also,
yes,
I don't have
exactly
a lot of time.
So I think we put the airports on my kitchen rules. Move over.
Far out.
So I like flying, actually. I do. And I like traveling. I've been traveling for 2.5 years now, actually.
I would like to do that. I just need to throw away a lot of stuff. So
I hear that one. I hear that.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Remove the resistance, Rupert.
Well, I can always take the shows that I do on the road. It'd be kind of difficult, but I could still do it. Speaking of shows, I'd like to take a moment to plug my show. I am Hi, It's Rupert from YouTube. I have a show called Hi, It's Rupert. And I say that at the beginning of every episode because it's me, Rupert. And it's a clip show. I show video clips, various things and places. And I'm very deep in my truther mentality. I'm very expose-oriented, if you will. I try to
And it's
let
brilliant,
people know what,
by the way.
I'm sorry? It's what?
It's brilliant. Brilliant.
I very much appreciate that. It's got a lot of...
What is brilliant? What is brilliant? The truth movement or Rupert? Rupert, there's no such thing as a truth movement.
Representing the truth movement on his YouTube channel with his clips, absolutely brilliant. I can't even tell you the amount of editing that must go in to the show. I'm guilty of just doing live radio on a regular basis. Rupert puts time and thought and process into his videos. And I fell in love. I mean, I really did. I mean, you know, love you, Rupert, and all that stuff. So I just want you to know that I met him through Sonia, one of the original, well, the original truther girl. And I've been a fan ever since. Always really thrilled to watch the poignant slash humorous video clips and editing and editorialization, if you will, from Rupert. So I just wanted to point out that kudos, dude. Don't ever give that up. I mean, it's super awesome. And then for you to continue to move back to radio, because I believe you used to have a radio show. It's the progression of Rupert. And I just want you to know that your YouTube channel is rocking.
Thanks a lot. Basically, this is how it went. I was living in Florida. Things were good, but one day I just had this inkling. I was like, I wonder if they got to the bottom of that whole 9/11 thing. And I was laying in my bed and I was just like, all right, let's find out. So I roll over and I punch up stuff on YouTube and I just start researching. And that was in 2006. By 2010 or so, I had accumulated quite a body of knowledge had researched all this stuff down to the point where some of it was so upsetting I couldn't really do it. So the only thing that was left was to get involved in radio. I met other people who were thinking the same way. I did a couple of radio shows, and then just through circumstances, I had to stop. And then I did this show locally, like an anti-war show that had music and bands and stuff. I hosted it, and I actually played in one of the bands. I did it all myself, and after that was over, I didn't have anything to do. Like, I didn't have a project. I didn't have a show. I didn't have a concert to put on. So it was an accident. One day I just picked up the camera, and Hi, It's Rupert, episode one is just me, like, holding the camera, talking to the camera, and showing clips of, like, Prince Charles, like, joking about how I didn't know he could talk. Because up until that point, I don't think I'd ever seen anything but pictures of him and just a quiet video. It's not a lot. I didn't know he could speak so well, but I actually did a Prince Charles episode of Hi, It's Rupert, which is really funny how that came around full circle, but it's been a really great journey. I've met all my, like, Sonya was one of the reasons I got involved in it, as well as some of the more popular YouTubers like Ray William Johnson and Philip DeFranco. But then when I saw Sonya, I was like, oh, well, you can kind of talk about this stuff. So yeah, that's how I got started, and that's why I know all of you people.
Yeah, very interesting. You know, just to throw in, you know, the Ray William Johnson thing, the king of YouTube, whatever, until, of course, that Gangnam thing came out, or Gangnam Style, whatever that is. But yeah, you do more of a poignant thing. You know, Ray William Johnson, whom I like. I don't know him personally, but I enjoy his videos. One of the steps in progress that I also came across. And I have to tell you that, you know, I do require a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? Substance, I think, you know, and not in the drug way, but, you know, substance on my YouTube, you know, experience that, you know, when you explore topics, you know, you explore these particular things and then you have good points. They do, I think they cater to more of a younger crowd, Ray William Johnson, you know, in general, and they tend to cheapen it up a bit. And I'm not an anti cheap fan. I like a good cheap video every now and then. Don't get me wrong, but your videos aren't cheap. You know, you really do put time and thought into them, and it's not really about, you know, watching kitties jump off a roof unless there's some more to it. And, you know, you actually there were a couple of videos where you really made some political statements, more than a couple, and so that's what I appreciate about your take on, you know, YouTube land, etc., is that you know while keeping it fun and throwing in your two cents, you know, you do tend to explore areas that are not usually comfort level, if you will, and that's why I gravitated toward your channel, is because every time I watch your channel on YouTube, which is let's see, so you go youtube.com/tivrest.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
K-I-V-R-E-S-T. Yeah, so every time I do go to your channel, I'm never disappointed. I always find that you really have a good blend of humor, political statement, moral statement, and also just plain old good editing video stuff, you know, commentary, etc. So yeah, that's where I find you separated from our YouTube friend here, Ray William Johnson, who doesn't suck. But yours is more poignant and caters to a wider audience, in my opinion, and I look forward to it blowing up.
He actually watches the show, because I've seen things I've done end up on his show.
Oh, really? How very nice.
Yeah, I made a video. Exactly. His video got yanked. He had a video about 9/11 get yanked, and then I did one about him regarding 9/11, because he was kind of laughing at conspiracy theorists a little bit, and I didn't like it. People are still very angry with me about that video. His fans routinely comment on my video telling me I'm an idiot, and, you know, stuff like that. I don't really
well,
mind
see,
so
I'm
much.
I'm an idiot on any level, Rupert. I don't really see the word idiot anywhere in my brain.
Was it real, Rupert? Was 9/11 real, Rupert?
What do you mean, was it real?
Yes, was it real? Did it happen? Has it got memories? What are you going to do with it?
Well, I think it was real, because I have lived in downtown post 9/11 Manhattan. I've met people whose friends and family members died in the buildings. I've lived in Manhattan, and actually, in the grand scheme of things, I moved to Manhattan really not that long after it happened. I started hanging out there, you know, pretty much like about a year or so after it happened. I went there once before it happened. The city changed completely. I don't think it happened, of course, exactly how they say it happened. And maybe that's what I'll finish up after I take a break here in a little bit. Maybe I'll finish up the show talking about Bob McElvain and Norman Mineta and all the people whose testimonies are being ignored by everyone. I mean, have we gone far enough past 9/11 that
The technology,
it almost doesn't matter. It almost doesn't matter anymore. Like, yeah. It seems like it doesn't even matter that it happened anymore.
Well, you know? It did happen, and it happened differently for a lot of people all around the world. You know, it did happen. It was real. And the technologies, the understandings, the discussions that were held after 9/11, exploring, you know, different chemicals and what was found in the dust and what was there and what wasn't there and what was said to have happened and the illusions and the absolute... I think it was, you know, that they speak of, you know, false entities, false Jesuses, false prophets. And, you know, I think that comes into that category, you know. And it did happen. We can't change that it happened. But our perception has certainly changed from that day. And then again, you know, that's where I was mentioning the airport. You know, I had a discussion. Well, if we didn't have airport security, more planes would blow up. And I said, well, how many planes have actually been blown up with by what people call terrorists? Because they're anti-plane. They use their protest and use it on a plane. And not many. And, you know, more people die from the common cold. The vaccines that were introduced. 44,000 people were dying from the common cold in America. Nine people.
Did we lose Susan? We might have lost Susan.
Yeah, right.
Also, you know,
she'll be back in a minute, Rupert. Her internet's not brilliant.
I hate to say this, but I've had this thought for years. I've said it before. I'll say it again. And this might sound mean, might sound crass and harsh, but the people who live in New York, they kind of. On a level, sort of deserved that to happen to them, which is why it did happen to them. They're not nice people. By and large, they might do nice things, but by and large, their attitude is not. It's not nice. They're not nice. They don't. It's just not a word that you use to describe New Yorkers. I mean, they're very ignorant of each other. They're very respectful of people's time. I'll give them that. But I think there was a mass awakening that happened in New York after that. A lot of people realized, and then after that hurricane went through not that long ago and just really messed some of those people out in the outlying, I think some of those people still don't have power.
Was that Irene?
Yeah, I seriously think some of those people never got power back. You hear that?
Guess well, not. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, regarding superstorms and HAARP and this and that, so... You don't want to get me started, but I just, I'm listening to what you're saying. And yeah, there was so much damage as far as, hi, we can wipe out your large city quickly, you know, type thing. Well, what do you think, Rupert?
Well, let's move from 9/11 to chemtrails and HAARP and stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Cloud City.
There's cloud nothing city that gets people more angry. Real. People get very, very angry when you suggest that they're spraying things in the air. But I just listened to this broadcast. It was probably like a three-parter, 10 minutes each, with George Norrie from Coast to Coast. That guy, he's really good. One thing, he had a guest on that was talking about the particulate spraying. He knew the patent numbers. Excuse me. He was very keen on the patents that have come out, like the Monsanto patents. They have... crops that resist aluminum and something else and like what are they spraying in the air? Freaking aluminum
and it's sulfates, just... copper sulfate, potassium sulfate, I think, even arsenic is involved. And there's so many different variables. They've got, let's see, I can't even remember off the top of my head, but I actually have an article here that came out today from the Intel Hub talking about David Keith, the major geoengineer of our planet, which is, you know, chemtrails, now warning that they should stop large scale experiments and start to look at the process. I mean, the results of the process of geoengineering. I covered it today on my show, actually. So it's amazing. I'll put the link in the Skype chat. I don't know exactly. Rupert, let me ask you a question on your flagship radio, Highest Rupert Radio. Do you guys have a chat room also?
Yeah, there is a chat room on Flagship Radio. Yep.
Okay, well, I'm going to put this in the chat right now, this article I came across today regarding what they're calling for. Mainstream media is calling for a global government, a study slash whatever, which doesn't sound good, first of all, about the mass scale geoengineering results and possible results of what's going on the planet. So all of a sudden, the most, revered, if you will, geoengineer guy David Keith is now talking about the dangers of geoengineering. So it's very interesting because nobody could admit it. Everyone, I mean, I met pilots, last week that were talking about the fact that it was still a contrail. So anyway, please continue with your thought process. I just wanted to bring that up, and I did put it in the chat, or I'm about to right now. There we go.
My next episode, you'll actually see in my next episode, the Weather Channel has this thing called Hacking the Planet. I'll play the audio from the promo later. And it basically is about HARP and cloud seeding and all that sort of stuff. The thing about that space ghost coast-to-coast, the coast-to-coast AM broadcast that I was just telling you about, the thing that stuck out the most with me was the fact that they were talking about this type of snow that is falling, and it's the way it's being seeded, the way that the I wish I'd taken notes, but the way that the action of forming the crystals that are forming the actual snowflakes is happening is not natural, and you can actually get snow to fall in temperatures above 32 degrees because
totally.
It's just not natural. Yeah, and
totally.
So, I've seen it snow here, and when he was talking, I was like, "Yeah, this is exactly what I witnessed." This type of snow, I've seen it. It's definitely not cold enough out for it to be snowing. Is still snowing, and they were talking about how heavy and wet the snow is. This stuff ripped the trees and bushes apart. It blew up transformers. It blew up.
Are they people's... like mega snowflakes too? They're like mega.
No, they're not, I don't think, any bigger. They just have – they're really heavy, and it comes down quick. It just does not make a lot of sense.
Rupert, we had that over here a week or so – no, days ago, really. Just for Easter, we had all this really heavy wet. It was like slush puppies outside the caravan. Big puddles.
That's crazy.
Puddles of snow.
Well, the next place that my head jumps, if I may, because I'm Rupert and I jump around all over the place, the way we can stop this is, one, cut funding to certain things, and two, to actually take control of the military from a people's standpoint. There's a lot of things that I feel that if this nation and the Western world were made aware of, they probably wouldn't mind seeing some of it come to an end. So, I don't see why we should... Well, I do see why. It's kind of hard because there's sort of a settling in that happens after you realize all the weird things that are going on. It's just sort of an acceptance. You either go crazy with it or you just sort of accept what parts of it are affecting you and what parts you can change and what parts you may not have the time or reach to change. But I feel like I used to be so hopeful, like when Alex Jones had that Charlie Sheen thing that he let everybody down with. I was really hopeful at that time that something would change, like it would be just Do you guys also have that hope sometimes? You're like, this will be the thing.
I can't even tell you, Rupert. It's like I often talk, you know, in pillow talk with my husband or whatever, that I'm searching for hope these days. I had hope. I really did. And it's very difficult. The only hope I really have is communication like this, blah, blah, blah. But in general, no, I don't have a lot of hope. I hope that we can have hope. And that's where I'm at. I don't even know what to hope anymore.
Yeah, I used to have hope that some celebrity would run his mouth and then everyone would go, what'd you say? And they'd research it and then they'd be like, oh my God. And they'd go up into arms and everybody would be pissed off and, you know, there'd be a government overthrow and then we would stop invading people and we'd stop giving rich people all the money and acting like we're cool.
Can I interject?
What's that?
Hello. Just wanted to say, I don't rely on hope at all. I have a massive determination to make things change. I don't care about hope or anything like that. I am determined to bring about change. And if I die trying, well, at least I die trying, you know? So, wow. That's it. That was really a good. Small soapbox today. I'm off it now.
I've got to agree with you, Callie. Next to hope, you're down on your knees praying.
Well, everybody, that's hope. That is hope, and that's also smart. I feel like praying, even if it's not really working like you hope it is, it's sort of an admission to yourself that things probably aren't the way they're supposed to be, and that
ding ding, Rupert.
That within yourself, you're saying to yourself, well, I don't accept this, I don't accept that. And then your own thoughts are floating out around, you know, thoughts do manifest themselves.
Absolutely.
They do.
In reality. Yes.
They do.
Focus your mind on the thought and the thought is manifested in reality, then it becomes real. It's not a figment of your imagination.
Well, then I will be the first famous truther then, because I've been pushing for that for a long time.
And is there really a truth movement? Is this thing called the truth movement? What is it? Is it real, Rupert?
Well, it's the difference between people who sit on their fat asses all day and watch television and believe what it tells them and compare themselves to it and buy the things the television says and talk like the television and raise their kids like the television and buy all the things the television tells them to buy. There's a difference between those people and the people who actually understand that none of that's real. None of that is going to help. And it's, if you get down to the, I mean, where I live, there's about 8,000 to 10,000 girls who all follow fashion. I mean, that alone is a green, quote unquote, person's nightmare. How many people in foreign countries are sitting there sewing clothes all day long so these kids can just have new clothes all the time? Like, how is that fair?
I really need my 6-inch spike heels to wear with my fishnet stockings because I really need to look sexy so I can attract a man. And I need to wear this lipstick with this with these fake eye lashes. And then I really need, you know, the new ombre hair dye situation so that I can, you know what I mean?
Stop it. It's not working.
I'm just giving you the mentality of what Rupert's talking about.
In England, well, in Britain at the moment, there's the girls seem to be, there is this fashion that the girls' eyelashes are growing and growing and growing, and they just look absolutely ridiculous. Big, huge, false eyelashes. Is it the same in America?
I don't think it's right to beat up genetically stupid people. It's dead easy to sit and say, look at them all dressing up like they're on page three. But, you know, it's dead easy to beat up on these people.
You know, there is... True. Fashion is strange in America. A lot of it comes from London. It moves to New York. There's a lot of really unique stuff that goes on in New York, and a lot of it starts in Japan and London, and it moves to New York. New York and London kind of exchange ideas a lot, but it takes about 4 or 5 years for it to make it outside of those realms, and when it does, it's been corporatized and turned into something else, and You know, really, I think that the fashion industry, it purchases too much of one type of material. And right now, there's these, like, puffy-looking ski jackets that used to be popular, like, in the late 90s. But they're, like, popular again now. They've, like, recut the coat and the jacket. I don't know
right.
if you guys know what
I'm
talking
so
about.
I so know, because I... Yeah, totally. And it was
they're
late 70s
ridiculous
as well.
Looking. Like, yuppie people wear them. Everybody wears them. They look ridiculous. They look like... You look like you're wearing a life preserver. You look like the Michelin Man. It's ugly and ridiculous, and everybody has one.
Not everybody.
Not everybody. But people who watch television.
Subscribe. People who subscribe.
People who subscribe. Well, people who watch television. It's mostly people who watch television because, let's face it, television is kind of enchanting. Everything gets worked out in half-hour bites. Everything's interesting. Everyone's sexy. You know, everyone's lines are hilarious. Everything they say is hilarious. And, you know.
Everyone's pretty.
Everyone's pretty. Everyone acts a certain way. Everyone's cool. Even the geeks are cool. No one's abnormal. No one's
even
out of their
ADHD,
element.
Even ADHD is cool.
ADHD. Well.
Are you describing Dark City Radio now?
Yeah, man, everybody here is cool. Everybody here is cool.
Wait, is that K-E-W-L?
Cool. Oh, my God.
Kill.
Kill. Oh, my God, it's so ridiculous.
Rupert, your point is amazing and always insightful. Again, I mean, you're making a great point. Please continue on your rant.
Well, it's frustrating to somebody like me. Somebody like me, all right, there's some guys out there, they just have like an awesome job and they have a nice voice and they're a good looking guy and they have money and they have means and stuff like that. And they'll be able to attract a broad base of females. Whereas somebody like me, most chicks don't get me. The chicks who do get me love me. But the chicks who don't get me, they're not interested in coming up on my level. They're not interested in finding out what I'm about. I'm part old school, I'm part new school, and I don't take crap from anybody. But it's just and I've gotten to the point now where I realize that most of the kids around here, they're just that, they're kids. They dress like adults, they try to talk like adults, they try to act like adults and to do adult things, but they really don't. They kind of don't get it. Like, they don't understand why. Or do you guys have yoga pants? Do you guys know what yoga pants are?
I know what yoga pants are. I don't look too good.
I know you do, but do the Dark City people, do you guys know what yoga pants are?
Rupert? Oh.
No.
Rupert, I don't know what it is you're speaking
yoga
of.
Yoga pants.
They're yoga pants.
Look, are they like lycra that people with a fat ass really
you
shouldn't
pull
wear?
Them down to your particular level to make yourself look sexier with a lining that is a different color than the black yoga pant, and then they have a little bit of a flare, you know, kind of a bell bottom, you know, spandex thing with fold down capabilities, right?
Yoga pants.
Anyway, that's not yoga pants. Yoga pants are a small triangle of material that just fits around your bum. And then it's got a long straight bit and two long bits of string like cord. And they wrap around your front and then they tie at the back. And then this flap comes down from the triangle, comes up over your bits.
I'm talking about American... American yoga pants. It's just like skin tight pants. Okay, this is a very important point, and it dovetails with all of the things that I've said before. And you can disagree with me if you like. Part of being human is maintaining a certain number of secrets, a certain
mystery.
Number of things that you don't share with other people. One of those, I think that makes you a cool person. Like if you don't share a lot with people and you have some part of you that is just
layers.
Yours, that's what makes you human. That's why we don't like the New World Order, because they try to strip that away from you. So what I'm saying is,
stay away from the camel toe.
I didn't say that. If we stay away from the camel toe altogether, there won't be any more people. So the camel toe has to be included in the mix. It's just somehow people have forgotten that. Well, when I was a little kid, if part of your ass was showing, it meant you were dumb and weren't paying attention. Now it just it could mean that you're a plumber, or it could also mean that you're a college chick just walking around town with part of your butt showing. Like, these chicks walk, and I shouldn't be complaining. I'm kind of not on one level, but on a human level, I'm just like, do you not know that I can see every contour, every angle, shape, girth, weight, and bounce of your rear end? Like, the only thing I haven't done with your rear end is actually utilize it. It just blows my mind. I'm like, you know what? I could probably pretty much imagine exactly what it would be like to have sex with you just because I can see exactly what your butt looks like. I don't think that's okay. On some level, it's okay. And on a guy level, it's just
On a marketing level, it's great. I mean, but you know, you've been talking about this since I met you, and I've always respected that about you because, you know, as fun and vulgar as you can be, Rupert, you've always maintained that the young female solicitation aspect has gone too far. And I agree completely, and you're still on the same path, and I appreciate that. And it's funny, you know, in our isolation moment, excuse my throat clearing, in our isolation moment, in our, you know, porn viewing moment on the internet, on our, you know, TV, you know, remote clicking moment, on whatever it is that we think that's going to get us through the day moment, it's very funny to step outside and watch people subscribe to that moment. And basically, you know, show every aspect of their bodies to, quote unquote, attract the other man because they think that's what they have to do. They need to attract the man as the 18-year-old, the 19-year-old, the 20-year-old, before they actually enter real adult life, whatever that is, and to just watch that progression of, let's see, isolation meets real life, you know, solicitation of fashion and or commercialization and or advertisement. It's really bothersome. And so, to you know, I lived in Los Angeles, and I had an office with my husband on Sunset Boulevard, and we would sit on the balcony or stand on the balcony and watch these people sell themselves as this, that, the other. I watched a 300-pound man have his tight pleather pants on with his chain wallet and his vest on and his long hair and his eyeliner. And don't get me wrong. I mean, hey, have fun. But don't try to sell it on that point, in my opinion. It's just amazing to watch what the product of TV and or advertising and or mass, you know, mainstream media, mass communications can do to people who subscribe.
May I?
Yes.
May I? May I, Angela, yes. Darling? How are you, Angela? I know you're on your little ranty thing. I know. But that is depends on where you live.
Okay,
you know,
well,
it's an illusion that you're ascribing to, you know, alluding to. It's an illusion. Depends on where you live. In some countries, they'd be going, what are these people talking about? What? What is porn? What is clothing? Who is who? What?
Exactly.
You know, it's an illusion. It really is.
Yes.
Depends on where you live.
So way to wrap it up there.
Subscribe to. Is it real?
Some people are very obtuse.
I don't know, but it entertains people.
Some people are quite obtuse. They take themselves very seriously. They take their clothing very seriously. They take their friends and their friends' occupations and their friends' relationships very seriously. Good luck trying to get those people to... Because there is nothing that you can say that will detract from the coolness of emulating the television. Like, that's just the coolest thing you can possibly do right now for most people, is to shop at the mall, look like the television, and show all your friends and your new friends how much like the television you are, or how much more like the television you are than they are. And it's for those who don't want to participate, it's kind of, you know, you might be getting left out of something that otherwise might have served you very well. You might have had a lot of fun with somebody.
Human pseudo happiness.
Well, those people actually are happy, though. Now, the reason that they're happy might be a little bit flimsy, might be a little weak, but regardless, those people do have a level of happiness that we're not. Maybe we don't have, and that's fine by me. I'd rather be me and not have all that than to have all that and act like, because I used to, I mean, I won't lie, part of Hyatt's Rupert is, especially the video show, the YouTube show, part of that is me dealing with the amount of television I've watched. Like, that's nobody's fault but mine. Like, I did that. I volunteered myself to that. But at about the age of 18 or 20, I realized, wow, I kind of have a problem with the television. And it took me a really long time to start to wean myself off of it. I didn't have TV for a really long time, and then I didn't have TV when I lived in New York. And then somehow I got my own cable, and with the cable came a package with the TV. And my friend just happened to leave a television in my apartment that matched all the furniture in my apartment. And there's this network called Boomerang that plays old cartoons. And the weird thing was, is I didn't go to work that day. The day that they put the cable internet in, I didn't go to work at all. I sat there and watched Boomerang cartoons all day and smoked pot. And that's when I really realized. I was like, whoa, this whole day got past me, and I didn't even realize it because I was watching cartoons on the television. And then
You were smoking medicinal medicine.
I was.
Rupert, watching television, what would your mother say if she knew? Hello, Mum. Hello, Rupert's mum. I've nearly
Hi,
got
Rupert's
him to
mom.
Confess everything, Mum. He's confessing
Rupert's
his
mom.
Life
Rupert's
on Mum.
Hey, Mum.
What's her name?
My mother's name?
Yes.
Mum.
Mum.
You can call her Mrs. Quaintance.
Mrs. Mum.
Mrs. Quaintance. Hello.
Let's just talk about my mom for a second. Mom has had the unfortunate experience of having to have me as a child. I wasn't really an easy child. What?
Say that again. I missed that.
My mother has had the unfortunate experience of having me as a child. I'm a very complicated person. I didn't come with an instruction manual. And she just kind of had to wing it, you know? Like,
we love that about you.
We just need to make the rest of the world love that about me so I can pay my parents
we
back.
We will.
Crap. So, yeah. My parents have had to deal... Go ahead.
Rupert, my parents always thought I was weird. But, do you know, they managed to keep it quiet until I was old enough to feel that it was quite a handy thing to have.
Because you are a bit strange, aren't you, babe?
I've been known to be a bit odd, yeah.
Well, British people in general, and I'm not trying to be mean, because you know I pick on you guys all the time, but British people are a little different than American people, and that's one thing I like about British people. There's kind of a disconnect between the Americans and the British. It's just the fact that we both sort of speak the same language sort of bridges the gap a little bit, but there is a huge gap there. There's 3,000 miles of stuff not connecting that,
ding,
you know.
Ding.
Yeah, but the English and the Canadians kind of gel really well together.
What about the Canadians?
He says the English and the Canadians get along well together.
Yeah, they gel really well.
Well, they're kind of owned by England, so they kind of have to.
Yeah, but then you distance.
Aren't we?
About that big distance thing, you know, if you're looking at it as in geographical positioning, then that argument kind of collapses on itself. I think it's down to individuals, Rupert. We all get on, don't we? You can't understand a word I'm saying, but we all get on. We all get on. You know,
we get along with each other.
Yeah, man, we get past it. So, you know, we're the example.
let me ask you both a quick question.
English. I suppose I'm not a typical English person, you know?
I wouldn't say so.
Well, you know what I mean? But what is? What is nowadays?
All I want to know is who introduced you both. Oh, yeah, that was me.
Okay.
I get my props.
You've got your props, definitely.
I know I do. And guys, Rupert, if it is in my power, I'm going to make you a star. The end.
I feel like, well, did you know what my full name, and thank God and my grandfather and my parents and everybody around me for having this awesome name. This is my full name. My full name is Rupert Wilson Quaintance IV. And I have looked up what my name means. It means roughly, and I've looked this up many times, it means bright fame.
A magical term.
Yeah.
My name means bright fame. Yes, it does.
And perfect.
It is. I really feel like my grandfather sort of named me. He petitioned very heavily to name me what my name is. Hey, Dark City people, especially you, Angela and Bob, you know, I want to take a quick break. Can I take a quick break and then come back to you guys?
Of course, it's your show.
Let's do that. I'm going to take a quick break, a quick musical break, and we're going to come back to you guys and finish on the other side.
So that's cool, Rupert. It just carries on playing music in the background all the time we've been on the other stream.
Okay, we're going to take a break for about 2-3 minutes right now. I need to catch a breather, and I'll be right back, and I'll get you guys on, and I thank you very much, and we'll be right back with the Dark City people, okay?
Yes.
All right, you guys. I'll talk to you. Bye,
everyone.
We'll be back in a minute.
Eat. I eat nothing at all. I saw you eat.
Biryani.
Are you hanging up on me?
Biryani. Hello? Biryani.
Can't you hear us?
I can.
Angela?
Yes.
Oh, good.
She just can't understand us.
I can't hear you. Hold on. I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes, if you're living in United States of America, don't eat no more food. The food you have been given is not good. It will kill you. Die. You eat this food, it will die. Die. Hello? Hello? Hello, little lady from America. You hear me? You are all broken audio, not very good. All done, see now. Bye-bye, little lady from America. She must have eaten too much food. Rupert shall return in a mere few moments. Thank you.
The other thing that I did that I thought was a little crazy, I jumped off. Do you guys have quarries? Do you know what a quarry is?
Yep, they're probably nothing like as big as American quarries, of course.
Oh my god, man.
They go quarries.
They'll go like...
Where the stone stuff comes from.
Yeah.
It's where the what?
The stone and stuff.
Gravel.
Yeah. Yeah, we got lots of rocks. But I jumped off a cliff into a bunch of water, you know, with no protective gear. And, you know, it's... You know, it took me about 40 minutes to work the nerve up, even though I saw other people doing it. I was just like, oh my god, this is... And then you jump, and you have time to think about things on the way down, and you're just like, oh my god, this was dangerous, and I just did it. And then the water doesn't come for like another 3 seconds, so you're just kind of waiting. Am I going to die? But it's still fun. Yeah,
I jumped off the bridge of a empty oil tanker.
Holy crap.
Now, I don't know if you know how big an oil tanker is, but when it's empty, it's right up high up the water. And when you jump off that bridge, admittedly, I was wearing a dry suit. You know, it was Army engineering diving exercise thing. But yeah.
That's cool.
I would never do anything even remotely like that. I can't even look at the YouTubes of people doing mad stuff. I have to hide.
She does hide. It's quite sweet.
Well, At this point, it's 8 o'clock p.m., and I feel in the spirit of the conversation that I will go over by a few minutes or so, although it's just because it's very difficult to say goodbye to such wonderful banter. I don't even know what this is. I don't know what kind of radio this is. It's an American guy talking to a bunch of British people about, like, we're talking about a thing, but we're not really even mentioning it. I'm like, are we even mentioning this anymore?
Yeah, but Rupert, the reason is you can't work it out is because there's only two English people left in the room. Everybody else is Australian and New Zealand.
You know what? Y'all are all English.
We've got a Roman. We've got a Roman, I think. There's one of them. But it's because we all talk different, innit?
Here's my question. When people started moving from England to Australia, there was just as little technological communication as there was in the United States. So my question is, how come the Australian accent maintained such a close resemblance to the British accent, and the American accent is just something completely, entirely different? Like, it's its own
thing. Because they're jealous about losing the war, Rupert. That's what it was, you know?
Jealous?
Yeah, the American, the War of Independence, where they tried to be independent from paying taxes on their income and stuff. They failed. You have to pay it to the federal government now, which is another illegal corporation.
Well, no, it wasn't a failure at the time of the war. Like, we totally beat your asses.
You might have beat us on paper. My ancestors and your ancestors may have killed one another, man. But you know, the only people who are losing war are us. You know, so we may have fought on whichever side. I mean, I could have been fighting on the American side back then. I wouldn't know. But we fought and we all died and we didn't win the revolution.
Well, there was
Carly,
no revolution.
Carly knows the answer. Carly knows the answer, she says. She knows.
I know the answer. It's because, or I imagine that it's because, immigration to America was from, not just from England, it was from right across Europe. And so there were an awful lot of influences on the accent. And it was decided that English would be the language of the nation at some point. I don't know why.
You're sensible, aren't you? When you're
the language of business. It's the language of business globally.
I'm dead clever, me, Bob. You know. Sorry, what was that, Rupert?
English is the language of business. Like, that's how business is conducted in on a macro level, on a global level. It's all done using English.
Yeah.
That and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were not written in 15 languages like the Georgia Guidestones. They were written in English.
Yeah.
That's how we roll.
So the American Declaration of Independence is definitely English then, and you heard it here first with Rupert on Flex.
It's certainly written in English. And I've even asked people, I've interviewed people. I love language. I love diction. I love all that stuff. When I was, in college age and older, I would always interview people who had learned English and asked if it was enjoyable for them to employ it. And especially the Japanese people love to speak English. It's just because of how their language is. There's kind of a weird, not easy, but there's an easier transition, I think, from Japanese to English than there is, to most other languages. So I've heard lots of Japanese people say that they love to speak English. They like to hear it spoken. They think it's fun. So, English people. British people. certainly a distinctive way of speaking.
People of Earth.
It's easy for the Japanese. They don't have to pronounce R and
L. But you're thinking of Chinese.
But they're so cute.
That's Chinese. They must find it really easy to speak.
Yeah. I don't know. I think everybody's cute on some level. Unless you're mean. Then it's hard to find the cute. I just think on most, just like most everybody has a, a human quirk or a dialect thing that's on some level is distinctive.
As Jesus, on the same level as Jesus. Just spit it out, Rupert.
Yes. Okay. On the same level as Jesus, if you would say. But
gorgeous.
And which baby? Are we talking about the baby Jesus? Are we talking about Jesus the man? Are we, are we talking about Jesus the sucker nailed to the cross? Which Jesus are we referring to?
Let's behave ourselves and not call him blasphemy or anything like that. Let's keep it.
I'm not asking in blasphemy.
No, I'm not.
You know what Jesus actually said?
I'm baby Jesus' favourite angel, but the guy who got nailed to the cross is not too popular.
Not as popular as baby Jesus, of course, but I mean, that's just a gruesome thought. It's not a happy... It doesn't make you feel very good inside to consider it. It's just kind of a guilt. Sort of just a... I think that's why so many people run from Catholicism. Because it's just... There's just a lot of guilt tied up in that. Anyway, I just think that...
There's no need to be guilty about baby Jesus. You tell all your American people out there, Rupert, that Patrick said they shouldn't feel the guilt any longer. He doesn't blame them at all for being nailed to the cross. Wasn't there, David? He's forgiven them already, you know. Already forgiven them.
Okay. I'm sure there's a lot of people who could not understand a thing you were saying, but that's okay. I just...
Maybe Jesus knows what I'm saying, Rupert, and that's what people...
That's awful. It's like almost like listening to a British version of Talladega Nights. Anyway, I said all of that to say that more people need to find commonality with people just based simply upon the fact that everybody gets hot and cold. Everybody has an issue on some level as to how they fit in socially. Everybody gets hungry. Everybody has to sleep. Everybody needs a place to stay. It's just... We're like a weird pack of talking dogs that live like we're in a beehive.
Wasn't that an R.E.M. song?
What?
That all that stuff you just said.
I think it was probably like two or three R.E.M. songs there, Robo Hippie.
I've had the migraine headache. I'm just coming out of it now. It feels quite strange.
It's like coming out of the closet, Robo.
Closet?
I told you about the time that I had a strange encounter with REM's Michael Stipe.
No.
He's like, no. Well, he kind of made a very distinct pass at me on the steps of the Capitol building in D.C. It's probably...
How did you respond?
Talking about the closet, when I was putting it up, I just put it on myself, you know, the little sort of windy up thing that tightens the screws and stuff. Got it all together. I was like quite happy about it. Got it all up. And then it collapsed on top of me. It all fell apart.
I don't know. If anybody else told me that, I don't think I would think it is funny at all. But you, like, I don't know. Robo Hippie, man, you should do voiceover. Voiceovers for cartoons.
It was funny after I moved all the wood off top of me. I was giggling,
Yeah, well, I mean, you gotta laugh at stuff like that. You can't take it too seriously, otherwise you drive yourself crazy.
Anyway, Rupert, how did you respond to Michael Stipe making a pass at you?
Well, I think I was very respectful toward him. I'll just say that he has a very strong presence. Let's just say that. And it was overwhelming. It was really, really odd. And he was just like, I asked him for his autograph. He wanted to give me a hug instead. And, you know, but I'm a good boy. I was 18 when it happened. And I'm a good boy. You know, I'm not going to follow some weird rock star to his bus. I don't care how famous you are. Like, but he kept looking back at me, and I was just in shock. He was just, I don't remember what he said. I just remember he was just kind of hypnotic. And when he walked away, the spell kind of broke, and I was like looking around at people like, all right, did anybody else notice that Michael Stipe, because, you know, I kind of felt like running after him, being like, hey, what's up, dude? Because he's famous, go party with him or whatever, but I got the distinct impression there was going to be some strange partying going on. All right, that's enough of the Michael Stipe story. There's an element of Radiohead and other things that went on that day, but that's crazy.
Are you sure he didn't use his hypnotic powers on you?
Yeah, I'm pretty strong like that. I'm pretty well anchored in there.
Yeah, you tell me that's what.
There wasn't any missing time or anything like that.
No, there wasn't.
And he had no untoward. What did you say? Untoward stains anywhere, Rupert?
now that's just taking things a little bit too far.
We're just trying to look out for you, you know. You said you were a young lad without a lot of experience. We're just trying to make sure that, you know, you're quite all right, you know.
Listen, that was when I was really young. I was 18. I really didn't know what I was doing. I'm really sorry. Like, I won't say. All right. That's,
you, so you that's did all. The right thing, Rupert.
Did you lose the red angel?
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the time, I was probably a little more religious than I was now. But, like, I still never fooled around with a dude. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. Like, dudes are great. I love them. But, you know, it's not my bag, I don't think. I think that was... It's not my bag.
I must add here, Rupert, I find you an awfully nice chap, but I got no ambitions to put my penis anywhere near.
Oh, be nice. You don't have to talk like that on the flagship radio.
I'm not being, I just want people to know that we have a loving relationship which is not based upon sex.
Is that why you said it like that, creeper?
Well, yes. You know, you think you was a wee bit. Just a wee bit, you know.
Righty-o, mate. All right, guys.
You see, Rupert, this is why you are the highest and the best in the hierarchy, and we are the lowest and the best in the hierarchy.
We are lovely lords here on Daxity Radio. Over on Flagship Radio, it's lovely to be working with you, Rupert. Lovely. We love you dearly, Rupert. Really.
We love you too. So... yeah, I should probably wrap this up. I've got dinner to start. I've got a lot of things to clean up. You guys have been fantastic. You guys have been the entire show. Angela Black never came back because she's probably on the phone with an agent trying to, you know, hook me up with a spot. I finally got a good picture of myself, apparently, so I'm gonna be in Hollywood or something. Like, something's just gonna happen, I'm sure. So yeah, why not?
Rupert. Something will happen, Rupert.
We've got a vacancy for a banana vendor in the city, Rupert. This is the only work available at the moment. But if you're any good at vending bananas, then we've got a position open for you.
Yeah.
Listen, if all else fails, I'm running to Manchester and I'm just going to sleep on your couch and then I'll just be your little bitch for a while.
Well, the couch is actually occupied by this really young, beautiful lady. There you go. We've actually got one on the couch at the moment, but we'll find you a little room in a cardboard box, Rupert. Cardboard
okay, box. That's fine. That's totally great. Yeah, no, that's fine.
By the time you were 18, that's what everybody in
England. I watch out.
We've got bunk beds in the caravan, Rupert. You can sleep on our top bunk bed.
That would be hilarious.
I've got a rabbit hutch. I've got a rabbit hutch. Stay there.
A rabbit hutch, that's cool. I like rabbits. I like Easter and eggs.
How about a chuck shed?
What's that?
Cow? A chuck shed. A chicken. Chicken shed?
Okay, like a chicken coop. I ain't sleeping in your chicken coop, lady.
Are you going to the roof?
Oh my god.
What?
Yeah. All right, you guys.
Put you in the roof, next. Rupert. In the roof. See you, Rupert. Whoa. Good show.
He's got to go now. He's not allowed to play out late. We love you, Rupert.
All right, much Bye. Love to all of you. Goodbye. Goodbye for now. I'm going to sign off on the other side. I will talk to you guys when I'm done telling all the people goodbye. And I thank you very, very, very much for joining me.
Nanu.
Bye.
Okay, bye, Hobbits.
He's gone now, Rupert. Right, we'll turn you over to our normal listening on Dark City Radio.
Dark City Radio.
So I put it back.
You want
to talk to them? I'll put it back on for you, Susan. Come on now. Monsieur Ricardi, get to what you need to be said and done, and then we can turn it off and we can all go to bed.
What are we doing? Nothing.
I thought you had something to say.
No, I don't. I've said it. Too late. It's all done.
Thank you. Good night, once again, from Flagship Radio over there, and from Dark City Radio over here. We actually live right next to one another on an amazing thing called the internet.